stronger, and our country is doing really well. I mean, at a level that nobody thought. We took a little excursion because we felt we had to do that to get rid of some evil. And I think you'll see it's going to be a short-term excursion. How good is our military, right? Amazing. How good. Short-term. Short-term. Thank you. They're great.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 10th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the Trump-Putin phone call, which took place yesterday. We have a readout from Putin's presidential aide, Ushakov. It was a short readout, about two paragraphs long. And the interesting part about this readout is that Ushakov made it a point to say that it was Trump who initiated this phone call. So that was the first sentence of the readout, pretty much the first sentence. This call was initiated by U.S. President Trump. So Russia made it a point to say that, which is interesting. The middle part of the readout talked about how the phone call was businesslike, a frank discussion. That usually means that there was some tense moments. And what was discussed was Ukraine, but Iran. And reading and going through the readout, you got the sense that this call really was more about Iran than Project Ukraine, which would be a first when it comes to phone calls between Putin and Trump this year. It's almost always about Ukraine, but this time around, it was about Iran. And then Ushakov, he ended the readout by making a point to remind everybody that the last time the two leaders spoke was back in December. And that was the phone call where Trump was meeting with the Europeans. And he called up Putin and he told Putin to stay where he was. He's going to relay what they discussed during that phone conversation back to Europe, back to the Europeans. And he told Putin, you stay where you are. Don't move. Don't go anywhere. You stay right there. I'm going to go to the Europeans and talk to them about what we discussed. And then the drones were launched towards Putin's Valdai residence. That was the last time that the two leaders spoke, and Ushakov made it a point to highlight that fact. So no doubt Trump is calling Putin to try and perhaps get Putin's help on figuring out a way to get out of this mess that he now finds himself in with regards to the war in Iran. And look, Putin, he's been speaking with the GCC countries. He has an excellent relationship with all of the GCC countries. UAE is a member of BRICS. And Putin, obviously, he speaks with Iran, and Russia can speak with Iran, perhaps maybe even influence Iran in various ways. Russia, of course, the relationship with China as well, and it looks like Trump, he called up Putin to try and figure out a way to get Russia to help him find an exit, an off-ramp to this war. We'll see what happens next, what Russia does next. For Russia, they have stated many times that what matters most is to get some sort of a cessation to the hostilities. That's what they're working towards, and to stabilize the region and end the conflict, end the war, stabilize the situation. This is what is most important for Russia at the moment. Stability, that is key for Russia. And so we'll see what the results of this phone call are. But Trump, he gave an interview to CBS News right about the same time, or at least a CBS News article was published right about the same time that we received information about this phone call. And CBS, they are reporting that Trump told them that the war is almost complete. We are just about complete, Trump said, with the war against Iran. And Trump said that the United States is way ahead of schedule. So that's what he told CBS News in an interview. And that interview was published. Then we get the Trump-Putin phone call. And of course, we have the situation with the price of oil and the shock of the price of oil going to 120 at one point in time yesterday. And on this news that Trump told CBS that the war is almost complete, and the news that Trump is now speaking with Putin, the price of oil went down to around 85, 86. And then it went back up to around, I believe now it's at 92 or 93. So as the markets got the news that Trump might be winding this thing down, the price of oil dropped significantly. But then it went a little bit back up. It dropped about 30%. And then it went back up around another 10%. And now it's at around 91, 92, 93, somewhere in that range. So the question that I have is Trump really looking for an exit? Is he really looking for an off-ramp? He was not able to get the regime change over the weekend from the time that he initiated this war. They assassinated Khamenei, but it did not collapse the Iranian regime. The Iranian regime has actually rallied around the flag. They've rallied around the death of Khamenei. They have a new supreme leader who just happens to be Khamenei's hardline son, who has seen his father, his wife, his son, all murdered by U.S. Strikes. The GCC countries, they seem to be turning on Trump. We're getting many statements from leaders in the GCC region who are now saying that they don't want any part of this war. They're not looking to go to war with Iran. They don't want to attack Iran. They don't want to retaliate to Iran's missile strikes into U.S. bases and other facilities, even hotels in their countries. And these are the statements that we're getting from various GCC members. And of course, you have the oil price, which is going to wreck Trump's presidency. His presidency is based on, much of his presidency is based on the U.S. economy and controlling inflation and a low price of oil and gas and all of these things, low price for energy. That's Trump's big success, and that is all just getting trashed now. And his approval rating is going down the tubes. So is Trump really looking for an exit? We're almost on day 12. I believe today is day 11, either 10 or 11, so we're approaching day 12. Why is that significant? Well, because the last war was a 12-day war. So we're approaching 12 days. And Trump keeps on saying that Iran's military has been destroyed. Their navy has been destroyed, which is true. Their army has been destroyed, which does not look to be true because Iran continues to fire missiles throughout the region, including U.S. air bases, including oil depots, including Israel, including Tel Aviv. So it does not look like Iran's military has been destroyed, even though Trump says their military has been completely decimated. That is not true. And Trump also talks about how their leadership has been completely destroyed, which is also not true. How do I know it's not true? Because I see interviews with Latinjani. I see interviews with Pezeshkian. I see interviews with various Revolutionary Guard leaders. We have a new Supreme Leader. So when Trump says that their leadership has been completely destroyed, that is a flat-out lie. So it's going bad. This entire war is going very bad for the Trump administration. Even the Wall Street Journal is reporting that there are various parts of the Trump administration that are telling Trump to find an off-ramp. This is what the WSJ is actually saying. Trump needs to find an off-ramp to this conflict because it is not going the way they hoped it would go. Or is this some kind of Trump trickery? That's also where my mind goes. Sometimes I think Trump is sincere. I'm thinking Trump really wants an exit. That's why he's calling Putin. That's why he's telling CBS News the war is almost complete. That's why he's basically framing it as some sort of U.S. victory with talking points, slogans. We decimated their navy. We decimated their army. We killed their leadership. Very easy to remember talking points, just like we obliterated their uranium facility. Trump is good at these things. MAGA, make America great again. He's a marketing guy, art of the deal guy, right? So that's why he's coming out with these talking points, because he really does want to end the conflict. He wants to find a way out of this mess. But then I think, you know, Trump trickery, trickster, deception. Deception. That's what the Trump foreign policy has been all about. And so maybe Trump is looking to trick Iran. Maybe he's looking to trick Russia. Maybe he's looking to trick the markets. Maybe he called Putin. Maybe he's told CBS that the war is coming to an end, is almost complete, because he wanted to bring the price of oil down. And it worked. He did bring it down 30%, but it went back up. But still, it's under 100, which I believe is Trump's goal. If he does want to continue this war, his goal is to try and keep the price of oil under $100. So this could be some sort of Trump trickery as well. Trump gave a speech, and yesterday he gave a speech, I believe, to Republican lawmakers or Republican Party officials. And then he gave a press conference. And in his speech, he said that this war has been a short-term excursion. It wasn't even a war. He said it was a short-term excursion. That's actually a direct quote from Trump's speech. It was a short-term excursion. And he even did the wave. He even did the wave. He's focused on America, right? Focused on America and the U.S. economy and America first and all of that stuff. But this war was an excursion, a short-term excursion. And then right after he said that line, right after he said excursion, he pivots to, isn't the military great? Isn't the U.S. military great? And then everyone stands up, applauds, because what else are you going to do when the president of the United States says, isn't the U.S. military great? Everyone is excited. They say yes, F yeah, and they stand up and they applaud. And then Trump says, short term. So that was an interesting statement, an interesting part to his speech. And what else? What else? He told CBS, I think the Iran war is pretty much complete. That's the direct quote. He also told CBS News that the United States is very far ahead of schedule. No one quite understands what the schedule is. It was supposed to be 3 days. It was supposed to be 1 day. It was supposed to be 3 days. It was supposed to be 4 days. It was supposed to be a week, 2 weeks, 8 weeks, 100 days. We're preparing for a war until September. They've also thrown out the as long as it takes line as well. So when Trump said it's going ahead of schedule, no one quite understands what that means because no one really knows what the schedule is. And what else did Trump say? The exact quote was, we took a little excursion because we felt we had to do that to get rid of some evil. I think you'll see it's going to be a short-term excursion. Short-term. Isn't our military great? Applause. That was the video. He got a question from reporters about his statement where he said it's an excursion. On Iran, you called it an excursion. You said it would be over soon. Are you thinking this week it'll be over? Or, and then Trump said, no, but soon. He doesn't even know. He has no clue. Trump threw Kushner, Witkoff, and Marco. He threw them under the bus. Yes, he did. He absolutely threw them under the bus because he said that they told him Iran was going to attack. They were ready to attack in a matter of days. The Iran negotiators told Witkoff that they're going to get a nuke. And he said, Jared, Steve, Marco, they told me that Iran was going to attack. And so I got to them first. So he threw them under the bus. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think even Hegseth, even threw Hegseth under the bus. I think he said, Jared, Steve, Pete Hegseth, and Marco. I believe that was his statement. Interesting, very interesting statement from Trump there. Huh? Someone's going to have to take the fall if there is an exit from this debacle. Someone's going to have to be blamed. My guess would be Hegseth. That would be my guess. But first, let's see if Trump really does want to find a way out of this war. Hegseth gave a press conference about an hour or two before I started recording this video, and it was typical Hegseth. He was also with Kane, General Kane. General Kane, much more professional, 1,000 times more professional than Hegseth. Obviously, Hegseth's statements. We're more of the same. We're looking to hit Iran hard today. Today's going to be the hardest we've ever attacked them. It's going to be a huge strike against Iran today. We're winning. We're going to win. All the goals and objectives will be complete. Death and destruction. Destruction and death. More death. More destruction. That was Hegseth's statement to the media today. Trump also announced yesterday that we're going to get some sort of sanctions relief on Russia after he spoke with Putin. Though Peskov denies this, which is very interesting. There were no discussions about sanctions relief, oil sanctions relief specifically on Russian oil. Once again, in order to calm the markets down. But Peskov, he made it out as if this was not discussed at all. But Trump, he told the media that he discussed oil sanctions and that Russia's going to get some sort of temporary oil sanctions relief. That's got to be driving the Europeans crazy if this is indeed true. Peskov said it didn't happen, but just the fact that Trump is announcing this to the media shows that Trump is thinking about it, or, well, he could be thinking about doing such a thing. Or once again, he's trying to trick everyone, trick the markets, calm the markets down so he can get the oil price or keep the oil price under 100. And he has no intention of any sanctions relief. He has no intention of stopping the conflict. This is all being done to to calm the markets. That's a possibility. That probably is what's going on. But the reporter asked Trump about what's going on with J.D. Vance. And Trump pretty much admitted that J.D. Vance was not so hot on a war with Iran. And that's why J.D. Vance is not seen very much these days. Are there any points of disagreement between yourself and J.D. Vance about Iran? Trump said, I don't think so. No, he was philosophically a little bit different than me. He was maybe less enthusiastic about going, but he was quite enthusiastic. Typical Trump, right? He was maybe less enthusiastic about going, so he didn't want to launch this strike. He didn't want to go to war with Iran. And then Trump right away says that he was quite enthusiastic. Okay. And then we had the question from a reporter about the strike on the girls' school. And boy, did Trump really mess this one up. I mean, he really, really messed this one up. So a reporter asked him about the strike on the girls' school and about the fact that it was a tomahawks, plural, that were used to bomb this girls' school. And Trump's answer was that other countries also have tomahawks. That was pretty much his response to this reporter's question. He said that the U.S. is going to investigate it, or they're in the middle of an investigation. He also said, I'm willing to live with whatever the investigation shows. So he did say that. But he also said that it could have been tomahawks via other countries. Maybe not the United States. Tomahawks from who? From who? That's what he wanted to throw out there. It was other countries. Maybe it was other countries' Tomahawk missiles, not the United States' Tomahawk missiles. But he said there's an investigation that's taking place, and he said he will accept whatever the report shows. He's willing to accept whatever the investigation says. He really messed that one up. Big time messed that one up. The Washington Post is reporting that the Pentagon burned through 5.6 billion worth of munitions in the first 2 days of the Iran assault. 5.2 billion in just the first couple of days. And we are also getting reports from South Korea saying that South Korea does not want to. They do not want to do this, but they are having to send their Patriot systems, their interceptor missiles, to the Middle East. A clear admission that the United States is depleted of interceptors. CNN ran an article with the title, Iran is ready for a long war with the U.S. and only economic pain will end it, senior official tells CNN. You see, there's another senior official. Trump is telling us the entire leadership of Iran has been destroyed. The entire leadership, no more. And then we have CNN interviewing a senior leader who is saying that Iran is ready for a long war. Araghchi, he said, the foreign minister, another leader, the foreign minister of Iran, he said that there's going to be no negotiations. There's going to be no off-ramp for Trump. He said it's not going to happen because Iran was tricked twice. Two times Iran was tricked. They negotiated twice, and both of those times they were attacked. So Araghchi said that this time around there are going to be no off-ramps, no negotiations. But if Trump is serious about an off-ramp, if he really is serious about getting out of this mess, Putin is the right person to speak with. For that, there is no doubt about it. Iran does not consider holding talks with U.S. anymore, top diplomat. Arachi stressed that Iran has a very bitter experience of talking with Americans. Here you go, the Qatari PM. The prime minister said, "We have made it abundantly clear that we will not engage in any wars against our neighbors." Trump also posted on Truth Social how he's going to really hit Iran hard, 20 times harder than they have been hit thus far. If Iran does anything that stops the flow of oil within the Strait of Hormuz, they will be hit by the United States of America 20 times harder than they have been hit thus far. Additionally, we will take out easily destroyable targets that will make it virtually impossible for Iran to ever be built back as a nation. Again, death, fire, and fury will rain upon them. But I hope and pray that it does not happen. This is a gift from the United States of America to China. It's a gift to China and all of those nations that have heavily used the Hormuz Strait. Hopefully, it is a gesture that will be greatly appreciated. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. That is panic from Trump. That post right there is panic. Panic over the Strait of Hormuz, revealing that much of this conflict is connected to China. There's a part of this conflict that is connected to China and China's ability to get oil through the Strait of Hormuz. And Trump is saying that it's a gift. It's going to be a gift to China. Any kind of deal is going to be a gift. Maybe even a U.S. escort, an envoy of ships through the Strait of Hormuz. That's another plan that they have going on in the United States. Another plan that they have going on, which CNN once again reported on, Axios was the first to report on this, but CNN also ran a report saying that another plan that they're thinking about is some sort of special military force going into Iran with scientists to go and extract the uranium that Trump was telling us was completely obliterated, uranium that these special forces have no idea where it's located, but they might be dropped into Iran to try and find the uranium. They'll go with scientists and they'll extract this uranium. That's another plan that the Trump administration is considering. General Kane actually even said that during the press conference, he said that there are many options and many plans that the United States is working through. So Trump's golfing buddy, the foreign policy president of the United States, Lindsey Graham, and yes, he is the foreign policy president of the United States, and sometimes I get shit about that in the comments. Alex, stop saying that Lindsey Graham is the foreign policy president of the United States. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, Megyn Kelly called him the foreign policy president of the United States. Pretty much, that's what Megyn Kelly said. Why is this guy dictating foreign policy? I'll find her quote, her exact statement, and I'll put it up on the screen because I was the first one to note many, many months ago that Lindsey Graham has too much influence on Trump's foreign policy. So Megyn Kelly, she is late to the game, but she's much more famous than I am. So anyway, Lindsey Graham, he was on, I believe, Fox News. Where else is he going to go? But I think it was Fox News. Hannity. Where else is he going to go, Hannity? I think that's where he was going berserk. And yes, he went berserk. Lindsey Graham went absolutely crazy. He lashed out at Spain. He said, "Spain, you lost your way. I don't want to do business with you anymore. I don't want to do business with you anymore. Huh, people of Spain, I know you're sad. Everyone that's watching from Spain, let us know in the comments down below how sad you must be knowing that Lindsey Graham does not want to do business with you anymore. Ah, people of Spain, they must be very, very sad, very depressed knowing that Lindsey Graham does not want to do business with them anymore. It's a sad day in Spain, a very, very sad day in Spain. Lindsey Graham refuses to do business with you." Lindsey Graham also said that he's going to South Carolina and he's going to get Americans to fight in the Middle East. "I'm going back to South Carolina and asking them to send their sons and daughters to the Middle East." Unbelievable. absolutely unbelievable. And then Graham also said, I'm not with you, I'm with Israel until my dying days. I'll play the videos so you can have all the context as to what Lindsey Graham said, in case I'm misquoting here as I read these posts on X.
To our friends in Spain, man, you have lost your way. I don't want to do business with you anymore. I want our air bases out of Spain into a country that will let us use them. To our Arab friends, I've tried to help you construct a new Mideast. You need to up your game here. I can't go to South Carolina and say we're fighting and you won't publicly fight. What you're doing behind the scenes, that has to stop. The double dealing of the Arab world when it comes to this stuff needs to end. I go back to South Carolina, I'm asking them to send their sons and daughters over to the Mideast. What I want you to do in the Mideast to our friends in Saudi Arabia and other places, step forward and say, this is my fight too. I join America. I'm publicly involved in bringing this regime down.
Graham also talked about his friends in Saudi Arabia trying to recruit them to go to war against Iran. They're getting very desperate. They're trying to get Turkey involved in the conflict. They're trying to get Azerbaijan. They're trying to get the Kurds. The Kurds might go in. Turkey might get involved. Who knows? But it looks like Azerbaijan is not going to get involved. That would be my guess there. Turkey, I'm 50-50. The Kurds, I'm probably more 60-40, 60 that they will get involved. And now we have Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, I give Saudi Arabia a 10% chance that they're going to actually get involved. But Lindsey Graham, he is urging Saudi Arabia to go to war with Iran because the U.S. embassy was hit in Riyadh. And this is an attack against Saudi Arabia, but the Saudis are not biting. Sister Lindsey Graham, please spare everyone the fake to my friends in Saudi Arabia speech. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia will not be sucked into your fetish. Try focusing on representing South Carolina instead of trying to start wars in the Middle East. Interesting post on X. And the outcome of this conflict, according to Politico and according to Costa, who is the president of the European Council, is that the winner is none other than Russia. Russia is the big winner out of all of this. That's what Costa said. Russia is the winner from this war. Politico is saying why Vladimir Putin is the biggest winner from the war in Iran. Check out this first couple of paragraphs here from Politico. Russian President Vladimir Putin entered the new year facing a painful choice. Oh, this first couple of paragraphs. These paragraphs are pretty funny. Shows you the delusion of the writers at Politico. Russian President Putin entered the new year facing a painful choice. Limit his so-called special military operation in Ukraine or risk serious damage to his economy. Almost overnight, U.S. President Trump handed him the solution. U.S.-Israeli strikes on Iran have sent oil prices soaring, boosting the Kremlin's main source of revenue and making it easier for Putin to sustain his war effort. That's news to me that Putin was faced with those difficult choices. That is news to me. That's news to everybody. That's probably news to the Kremlin, news to Putin, news to Peskov and Lavrov and Zakharov and Medvedev. Really? Were we in this difficult choice? Scale down our war or our economy's going to implode? Was that the choice that Russia had? And then Trump magically provided them with a solution? the fantasies that these people come up with. So let's talk about, by the way, China, before I get to the next topic. China is prioritizing Russian gas amid Middle East conflict. China is turning more towards Russia. Funny how that works. China is the big winner from this conflict. China and Russia together, the big winners from this conflict. Right, Politico? See, I just gave Politico another article for tomorrow. Politico can thank me later. Putin announced that he is going to be he is going to be diverting Russian oil and gas away from Europe before April 25th. April 25th, the EU is going to make a decision on Russian oil and gas. And of course, the decision is going to be to completely cut off Russian oil and gas, all of it, oil, gas, LNG, pipeline, everything, cut it all off to Europe by 2027. So Putin was speaking to, he was having an oil and gas meeting today. And he said, you know what? The EU is going to take this decision in April, and we know what the outcome of this decision is going to be. But I'm gonna beat them to the punch. We're going to divert our oil and gas away from Europe before they have this meeting. That is going to hurt Europe. That's gonna crush them. I wonder what that means for Hungary and for Slovakia, for the Druzhba pipeline. I'm sure that Putin and Russia will find a way to work with Hungary and Slovakia. Speaking about Hungary, they want answers from Ukraine about the $80 million in cash and gold that was trying to cross over from Hungary into Ukraine in some sort of a convoy that the Hungarian authorities stopped and seized, and they took possession of $80 million of cash and gold. And now they're asking Ukraine, what was all of this cash and gold about? Hungary moves to legalize seizure of Ukrainian bank cash convoy. We demand, this is coming from the Hungarian Foreign Ministry, we demand that the Ukrainians immediately answer our questions. What were these hundreds of millions of euros and dollars in cash doing in Hungary? Why were they being moved to Hungary, and for what purpose were they used? So was this convoy coming from Ukraine into Hungary, or from Hungary going back to Ukraine? I think it was going from Hungary into Ukraine. But you know what this sounds like to me? Cash, dollars, euros, gold. Sounds like escape money. It sounds like get out of Dodge, Audi 5000 money. That's what it sounds like to me. And that is why Ukrainian officials are very angry about this move from Hungary. They are very upset. Lekoblin Ver is very upset. The foreign minister, Shiba Inu, he is very upset. I mean, it's only $80 million for the Green Goblin. $80 million is like a cup of coffee, right? $80 million is nothing for the Green Goblin. He makes $80 million right before he has breakfast. He makes $80 million. So it's nothing for him. Why are they so upset? But they are furious about Hungary taking this $80 million in cash and gold. Gold. Why would they have gold? Why would gold be in this convoy? To escape when everything falls apart in Project Ukraine. This is escape money. So stunning and brave, she revealed that the EU has spent, since 2022, on Project Ukraine, 195 billion euros on Project Ukraine. And she said that this 195 billion euros spent on Project Ukraine does not include the 90 billion euro loan that they're looking to hand over. Loan, they call it a loan, that they're looking to give to the Zelensky regime. So 195 plus the 90 that eventually they will give to the Green Goblin. That is the total amount of money, according to Kaya Kallas, that the EU has spent on Project Ukraine. And she's very proud of the fact that that the EU has given the most money to the Zelensky regime. She's very proud of that. Even more money than the United States. I don't know. How much money has the United States given to Project Ukraine? It's been a lot since 2022. It's been a whole lot since 2014. And it's been a whole lot since 2001, 2002, probably in the trillions. And when the EU says 195 billion, triple that, and you probably get the right amount, the correct amount. So I think that's everything. I don't even have a... Do I have a clown world? Oh, here we go. Here's a post from Stunning and Brave. An official statement from her office, her top diplomat office. Hezbollah... This is something. Hezbollah's decision to attack Israel in support of Iran endangers the entire region. Israel has the right to self-defense in line with international law. At the same time, Israel's heavy-handed response is causing mass displacement and is further destabilizing a fragile situation. So the right to self-defense in line with international law. Do other countries have that right to self-defense? Stunning and Brave? Don't know. But that is the official statement from Kaya Kallas on her official X account. And I think I will end the video there, the Duran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, Telegram, and X. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch, look for us on Substack, and all those links are in the description box down below. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.